Moses sees the Garden of Eden, the symbolism of the Tree of Knowledge and the Tree of Life. Moses 3:9. Book of Moses Essay Number 58 by Book of Mormon Central Team with Jeffrey M. Bradshaw. The Tree of Life is certainly the most significant object in the Garden of Eden. However, its presence has always been somewhat of a puzzle to students of the Bible because it is only briefly mentioned in Genesis, once at the beginning of the story in connection with the Tree of Knowledge and good and evil, and once at the end, when cherubim and a flaming sword are placed before it to prevent Adam and Eve from partaking of its fruit. Though neither the nature nor the function of the Tree of Life and Knowledge are given explicitly in Scripture, an understanding of its temple teachings and layout can greatly illuminate this subject. This essay will provide some background on the symbolism of these two trees. In essay number 60, we will see how their placement in the Garden of Eden relates to the layout of Israelite temples and makes their roles in the story of Adam and Eve apparent. Symbolism of the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. The Hebrew expression, knowledge of good and evil, can mean knowledge of what is good and bad, or of happiness and misery, or most arguably, of everything, if good and evil can be taken to mean the totality of all that is, was, or is yet to be. The variegated light and darkness in the photograph of the fig tree shown above suggests the ambivalent nature of this symbolism. Perhaps the most relevant hint on the meaning of the phrase comes from Deuteronomy 1:39, which speaks of little children who have no knowledge of good and evil, suggesting that they are not legally responsible for their actions. In this sense, the term refers not to abstract conceptual knowledge, but rather to the kind of knowledge which infancy lacks and experience acquires. Thus, sensing his inexperience, the young King Solomon prayed for the ability, quote, to discern between good and evil, so that he would be able to function in his royal role. This kind of understanding implied by the phrase knowledge of good and evil is, as Klaus Westermann concludes, quote, concerned with knowledge of or wisdom in the general comprehensive sense. Any limitation on the meaning of the knowledge of good and evil is thereby excluded. It can mean neither moral nor sexual nor any other partial knowledge, but only that knowledge which includes and determines human existence as a whole, the ability to master one's own existence, end of quote. Consistent with this reading of the phrase, Latter-day Saint Scripture refers to the ability to know good from evil, which presupposes, quote, man's power to choose the sweet even when it is harmful, and reject the bitter even when it is beneficial, end of quote. The prohibition on the Tree of Knowledge. The commandment specifying the prohibition of eating from the Tree of Knowledge is given in Moses 3:16 and 17. Quote, and I, the Lord God, commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Nevertheless thou mayest choose for thyself, for it is given unto thee. But remember that I forbid it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The phrase thou mayest choose for thyself is a Book of Moses addition to the Genesis account. The phrase serves to emphasize the fact that Adam and Eve are to be placed in a situation where they must exercise their agency in order to continue their progression. Elder Joseph Fielding Smith, speaking while a Latter-day Saint apostle, offered the following paraphrase of the command, quote, the Lord said to Adam, here is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you want to stay here, then you cannot eat of that fruit. If you want to stay here, then I forbid you to eat it. But you may act for yourself, and you may eat of it if you want to. And if you eat of it, you will die. End of quote. Fig tree or apple, real or figurative. Jewish and Christian traditions often identify the tree of knowledge of good and evil as a fig tree, thus heightening the irony later on when Adam and Eve attempt to cover themselves with its leaves. The fruit of the fig tree is known for its abundance of seeds. Thus, an apron of green fig leaves is an appropriate symbol for Adam and Eve's ability to be fruitful and multiply after the fall. Less likely are suggestions that the forbidden fruit was to be symbolized by the grape and the pomegranate or the apple, based on the correspondence between the Latin malus, evil, and malum, apple. Latter-day Saint teachings about the nature of the forbidden fruit include a wide variety of opinions. For example, while President Brigham Young and Elder James E. Talmadge understood the scriptures as describing a literal ingestion of food of some sort, Elder Bruce R. McConkie left the door open for a figurative interpretation. Quote, what is meant by partaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is that our first parents complied with whatever laws were involved so that their bodies would change from their state of paradisiacal immortality to a state of natural mortality. This topic will be discussed in more detail in a later essay. Symbolism of the Tree of Life. Since the Tree of Life is not specifically prohibited to Adam and Eve, commentators have often speculated on the question of whether Adam and Eve can be presumed to have eaten from it to prolong their lives so long as they remained in the garden. However, a careful reading of Genesis itself seems to run counter to this view. For example, the use of the term also in Genesis 3:22, Hebrew gam, and take also the tree of life, suggests that they had not yet partaken of the fruit of the tree of life at the time these words were spoken. Evidence for the use of gam in the sense of new and additional activities provided by Genesis 3:6 as well, and also gave to her husband. Additionally, Barr studied 131 cases of lest, Hebrew pen, lest he put forth his hand and eat, in the Bible, and found none of which means lest someone continue to do what they are already doing. Specifically affirming such a reading is a unique Samaritan exegesis of Genesis 2:16 that specifically excludes the tree of life from the original permission given to Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the garden. In contrast to the common idea that the eating of the fruit of the tree of life was merely a way to confer the biological immortality, Elder Bruce R. McConkie maintained that its purpose was to confer the glory of eternal life, the kind of life that God lives, in whatever degree, of course, those who partake are qualified to receive it. Non-Mormon scholar Vos concludes, concluding that the tree was associated with the higher, the unchangeable, the eternal life to be secured by obedience through probation. According to this view, Adam and Eve would not have been permitted to take of the fruit of tree of life at their own discretion. Like each one of us, Adam and Eve's only approach to the tree of life was by way of leaving the Garden of Eden to pass into mortality, and finally returning at last to take of this sweet fruit, only when they had completed their first probation and were authoritatively invited to do so. Olive tree or date palm. Ancient commentators sometimes identified the symbolism of the tree of life with the olive tree. Its extremely long life makes it a fitting representation for eternal life. Thus, the everyday use of the oil as a source of both nourishment for man and fuel for light evokes natural associations when used in conjunction with the ritual anointing of priests and kings and the blessing of the sick. A variety of texts also associate the olive tree with the Garden of Eden. For example, ancient traditions recount that on his sickbed, Adam requested Eve and Seth to return to the garden to retrieve oil, presumably olive oil, from the tree of his mercy. Recalling the story of the dove that returned to Noah's ark with the olive branch in its mouth, one rabbinical opinion gives it that the gates of the Garden of Eden opened for the dove, and from there she brought it. 2 days after a revelation describing how war was to be poured out upon all nations, Joseph Smith designated Doctrine and Covenants 88 by way of contrast as, quote, the olive leaf plucked from the tree of paradise, the Lord's message of peace to us. The date palm, on the other hand, is the symbol of the sacred tree in Assyrian mythology, and its longevity was a fitting symbol for a long life to the Egyptians. The Old Testament Deborah rendered judgment as she dwelt under a palm tree. The holiest place within the temples of Solomon's and Ezekiel's vision were decorated with palms. As a sign of victory and kingship, palm fronds were a central part of the celebration of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The Quran also describes the palm as providing shelter and nourishment for Mary, who is said to have given birth to Jesus in the wilderness beneath such a tree. A single date palm tree often yielded more than 100 pounds of fruit per year over a productive lifetime of 100 years or more. Akkadian synonyms for the date palm included tree of abundance and tree of riches, appropriate names for the vehicle of agricultural success and richness. Also in favor of the date palm as a representation of the tree of life are the Book of Mormon accounts of the visions of Lehi and Nephi. Lehi contrasts the fruit of the tree of life to the fruit of the forbidden tree, quote, the one being sweet and the other bitter. The fruit of the date palm, often described as white in its most desirable varieties, well known to Lehi's family, and likely available in the Valley of Lemuel, where the family was camped at the time of the visions, would have provided a more fitting analog than the olive tree to the love of God that was sweet above all that is sweet. The oil-producing tree of mercy as a third tree. Reconciling the competing conceptions of a tree of life that bears sweet fruit like the date, as opposed to oil-producing fruit like the olive, are ancient suggestions that the Garden of Eden story was concerned with three special trees rather than two. In addition to the original tree of life and tree of knowledge, the third tree, an olive tree, is said to have sprouted up only after the sin of Adam. Thus, in a speculative mood, one might consider the possibility of two trees of life, the original Edenic tree with its sweet fruit, destined as the ultimate reward of the righteous and arguably represented within the Holy of Holies of the First Temple, and the subsequently sprouted oil-bearing tree of mercy that may have been symbolized in the menorah that is said to have stood in front of the veil in the holy place. In the parlance of the doctrines of the Restoration, we might see in this interpretation the oil-bearing olive tree as representing the Savior, his healing atonement, and the gospel covenants explained to Adam and Eve after the fall that would eventually enable them to return to the presence of the Father in the enjoyment of the fruits, sweet fruit of eternal life. Conclusion. The message about the results of eating one or the other tree is clear. In both cases, those who eat become partakers of the divine nature, the tree of life symbolizing the means by which a fitting measure of eternal life is granted to the faithful, while the tree of knowledge enabling those who ingest its fruit to become, quote, as gods, knowing good and evil. The subsequent story of the fall seems to teach, however, that eating of either tree in an unprepared state may bring dire consequences.